This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Always some reason to feel not good enough, and it's hard at the end of the day. I need some distraction.
You're listening to After Hours on KPFT Houston. We'll be back in just a moment.
Gypsy boy and I, we slept on the breeze in the midnight. with the rain dropping tears in our eyes. And who's going to be the one to say it was no good what we done? I dare a man to say I'm too young, for I'm going to try for the sun. We huddled in the derelict building, and when he thought I was asleep, he lay his poor coat round my shoulder and shivered there beside me in a heap. And who's going to be the one to say it was no good what we done? I dare a man to say I'm too young, for I'm going to try for the sun. We sang and cracked the sky with laughter, our breath turned to mist in the cold. Our years put together counted 30, but our eyes told the dawn that we were old. And who's going to be the one to say it was no good what we done? I dare a man to say I'm too young, for I'm going to try for the sun. Sky, won't you look down for what's happening here below? I stand here singing to the flowers, so very few people really know. And who's going to be the one to say it was no good what we done? I dare a man to say I'm too young, or I'm going to try for the sun. We stood in the windy city, the gypsy boy and I. We slept on the breeze in the midnight, with the rain dropping tears in our eyes. And who's going to be the one to say it was no good what we done? I dare a man to say I'm too young, for I'm going to try for the sun.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music dear to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is the... How day is it? Fourth. We're Saturday.
I'll take your word for it.
Saturday, October 4th edition of After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one. The late Jimmy Carper, almost.
How many times could we have used the phrase late in Jimmy Carter?
Always. I am never on time. Never, 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 never.
I was thinking of the other definition, but hey.
Yeah. Well, Oops.
Are we talking with Park Plaza again?
Welcome. No. I've had my lifetime share of Park Plaza visitations.
He's moved up in the world now. Stanley got the better insurance. He's taking him down to the pet veterinary hospital.
There you go. We have got we're not sure, but we've got a pretty damn packed show for you. The Colts are here.
Colt.
A Colt is here. Oh, it's Colt. I'm an honorary Colt.
Honorary?
That makes two Colts.
That's a big
one
word.
And a half. Hold on.
Did you look at the certificate? I think it said honorary.
Oh.
Honorary.
Oh. No H. Okay. Oh, well. And we're going to have some folks here from the Laramie Project.
Over at Stage Door, Inc., down in Pasadena.
Yeah, and I know you want to talk about that because you saw it tonight.
Yes, I did. And I'm going to wait till they get here.
And you
were
moved.
Yeah, I mean, it was something. I
got this phone call. You know, and I just hate getting phone calls Saturday night after 9 o'clock because I know. It's usually a problem with the show. Somebody's not going to show up or, you know. So that phone rings, like, oh.
Yeah, but it's easy to set your answer machine to pick up on the second ring.
But it was you. And
it's hard to say that you were moved in Pasadena. But I was.
You were.
And I think right now they're having a little post-meal, and should be over here shortly.
Okay. And then it's the Hatch segment scheduled for tonight.
Have we had a Hatchling show up?
I can't tell you that. I don't know.
No.
Last I checked, all we had was a facilitator.
I know, yeah. Brandon is here. So we can poke and prod him, perhaps, if need be.
We'll just put on music and...
put on some music for the poking and prodding.
Mike took us down again. Let's.
I see. But in the meantime, there's some things going on in the community we can talk about. The Illuminations Project is coming up. That will happen. That's the event that's mm-hmm. going on for World AIDS Day.
Yes.
That Falcon is handling. And for the Illuminations Project, they're going to have some awards. Some
community-based awards.
Yeah. And each year, the Illuminations Project gives out two awards for the tireless work giving to AIDS education, awareness, and prevention. One award is given to an individual, and the other is given to a business or organization. And please use the following questions as a guideline in your nomination process. Who are you nominating? Length of service to our community. Personal achievements. Geographical area covered. And why do you feel they are deserving? This is a very simple nominating process, and all nominations should be less than 2 pages long. And 14 font size. We'll accept a separate resume as an attachment if available. Please forward your nominating letter to illuminationsproject@yahoo.com. Please include all of your contact information as the nominator. And all nominations must be submitted by October 15th. So that's coming up in less than 2 weeks.
14 point type?
That's what they said.
Size queen?
How big is that?
3/72 of an inch bigger than what you get in your newspaper.
Oh. 3/72?
Yeah.
That's not very big. Okay.
But just like genetics, it varies from font to font.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
So one person's 14 point may not be as big as other people's 14 point.
Yeah.
Kind of like AOL.
Yeah.
Yeah. Depends on what's next to each character makes it look bigger.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, you know, if you're 6'6", it just looks a lot smaller than if you're 5'5". Anyway, also going on today, let's see, Sunday, October the 5th, the Houston Area Bears are having their monthly Bear Beer Bust. That's 3 to 7 p.m. over at Tony's Corner Pocket, 817 West Dallas. And come join the Houston Area Bears for their monthly social. And check out dubcubed.houstonareabears.com for more information. And find out more about the Bears. Fun group. Very fun group. Since it's the first Sunday of the month, that means PFLAG will be having their monthly meeting. And this month, over at the Universalist Unitarian, right?
I thought they were over at St. Paul's UMC.
Are they?
Isn't that where they usually are?
That's right. They are. They are over at St. Paul's. It didn't say that on here, and I had forgotten. And well, they're right next door. You know, no big deal.
I don't know. It's
yeah.
It's a church. I'm not allowed to go in then. Last one fell down.
Oh, my. Dr. Jill Carroll will be talking on religion, tolerance, and homosexuality. She is the executive director of the Bonwick Center for the Study of Advancement and Religious Tolerance at Rice University. So that's happening at 2 p.m. And coming up this week, or next Saturday, is October the 11th. And some of you out there may know what that means, and I think most of you may not. But here at After Hours, we know what that means because we advertised this event the first year it ever happened, back in 1988 or 89, one of those two. It's National Coming Out Day. And that's right around the corner next Saturday, October the 11th. And that means one thing at Pride Houston, the annual Houston Coming Out Celebration. National Coming Out Day is exactly what Pride is about, raising awareness of the GLBTQ community by offering a familiar face to this human rights movement. As symbolized by this event and other Pride organization accomplishments, we have come a long way. However, we must continue to educate so that our path towards a more positive future is not lost. So join me, Brad Odom, president of Pride Houston, at the home of Pride supporter Gary Wood, as a tremendous amount of volunteer hours are going into making this event a huge success, both as a fundraiser and social gathering. The evening will consist of intimate cocktails. Ooh. I wonder what an intimate cocktail is exactly. And light horse ovaries in a lovely height setting. A combination of a live and silent auction will be featured, with auction items consisting of distinctive art pieces commissioned especially for this event. So come out already and help us promote the awareness of GLBT people and families living honest and open lives. This is happening at the home of Gary Wood at 614 East 10 and a half Street in the Heights. Saturday, October the 11th from 4 to 7 p.m. Tickets are $20, available online or at the door. And you've got some stuff over there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was a little perplexed.
In fact, I could do that one if you'd...
Well, I'm looking at this picture and it says it's Gemini Empress Rose. And
yes, it is Gemini.
There's a dress involved.
Well, she's been doing a lot of that this year, and she, frankly, she's really sick of it.
Someone with good Photoshop skills must have been working on that one.
No. She really is wearing dresses. At the beginning of the year, I dubbed her the Blue Jean Queen, but she has proved me wrong.
Someone Photoshopped her face onto someone in a dress?
Ella had nothing to do with that.
Oh, you didn't.
Are you talking about the one on the right or the left?
Oh, the one on the left, I believe. The one with
the big crown.
The big crown.
Okay.
Yeah.
God, the crown's probably taller than she is.
They're getting that way.
ICOH, the Space City Empire, invites you to Enthronement 7, From Goth to Grandeur, a Rocky Horror Holiday and Imperial Costume Ball, benefiting Baringamoka Dental Clinic and Hospice Programs, and honoring Apollo Emperor Jeff Wallace and Gemini Empress Rose. This will be on November 21st, 2008, at the Crown Plaza Hotel downtown.
The reason that I'm bringing this up is because it was originally scheduled for next Saturday, but because of the hurricane, so many events in the community have had to be postponed, and so the enthronement is now on November the 21st.
You can find more information on that at spacecityempire.org. Dennis Watson's birthday show and celebration will take place on Tony's Corner Pocket on October the 10th at 8:30.
Yes.
Not when it was said before.
It was scheduled at another time. So next Friday night at Tony's Corner Pocket, Dennis Watson is the Imperial Prince Royale of ICOH, plus Mama Blanche Debris of the Debris Sisters.
Has anyone come up to be a new Debris sister called, like, Ikey Debris?
Ikey Debris?
Yeah.
Not yet.
Not yet.
But there are some messes out there that could... take that title.
They blow hard and leave a disaster in their wake.
Yes.
The Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star, Inc., Houston, Galveston, North America,
The universe.
And Cut and Shoot, Texas.
And where?
And Cut and Shoot, Texas.
Cut and Shoot.
Strange we had a city that actually...
I know it.
For those out of town, there actually is a city.
Yes.
God help us. Turnabout, the Golden Age, hosted by Imperial Prince Royale 24, Suzanne Hayes, and Imperial Princess Royale 24, Marsha Mink Ann Gill.
Mm-hmm.
On Saturday, October 11th at 8:30 over at EJ's. And then on Sunday the 12th.
Yes.
Sunday the 12th.
Sunday.
Delayed reaction.
I know.
One Hit Wonder.
Really?
Yeah, kind of an appropriate title to be talking about here. Hosted by Grand Duke 24, Sir Matt Gill, over at the BRB. Both these are benefits for Legacy Community Health Services and Assisters through Coronation 25.
And it's a wonder you've only hit him once.
Decadent Dessert and More on October 12th at South Beach.
Decadent Dessert and More on?
More.
Oh.
I know you're used to hearing that title, but... Sisters has invited comedian entertainer Vicky Shaw to our fall fundraising event to entertain you. Once she opens your mouth, you'll know she was born and raised in Texas, and you'll never stop laughing. You can check her out on the website, VickyShaw.com.
Was that a compliment or what? Once she opens your mouth, you just won't stop laughing?
Yeah, she's funny.
Oh!
I know, it's a strange concept.
It is.
A funny lesbian comedian from the Houston area. tickets are $30 in advance, $35 at the door. You can find more information at sisters.org. Once again, that will be Decadent Dessert and More, October 12th at South Beach from 4 to 8 p.m.
My. You wonder why we can't get any press for After Hours at the Outsmart.
But he left, so we won't be able to anymore. What about the spread we had last year? When we turned 20.
I beg your pardon. Oh, yes, that was nice, wasn't it?
I know you're not used to spreading, but hey.
That's right, and pictures even. Yeah, that was really nice, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I take that back.
Anyway, join Upstage Theater as they present the mystery thriller Catch Me If You Can by Robert Thomas. Yeah, it's... Was he still holding or not, Brandon?
Oh, no, he's...
Okay, we'll drop him.
Yeah, we'll call back in.
Okay. Daniel Corbin, played by Danny Siebert, nervously paces around his honeymoon cabin in the Catskills while awaiting the word of his wife, Elizabeth Corbin, who has been missing for 3 days. Corbin finds Inspector LaVon to be maddeningly inept, distracted, and only slightly interested in helping him find Elizabeth. A priest, played by Danny... David Barron arrives to ask Corbin if he would take his wife back with no questions, no reproaches, and opens the door to find a woman identifying herself as his wife.
David Barron playing a priest now. That's a stretch.
This will be at Lambert Hall, 1703 Heights Boulevard. All shows are at 8 p.m. Performances on the 17th, 18th, 19th, 23rd, 24th, and 25th. The 19th is a matinee at 2 p.m.
Oh.
For more information, go to upstagetheater.org. That's theater with the R-E.
Mm-hmm.
Houston Pride Band, Saturday, October 18th, the fall concert explores music from Europe, Asia, Africa, with a special stop in Las Vegas. This will be at Resurrection MCC. More information, go to HoustonPrideBand.org. Remember, as we always say, if you can beat it, bang it, or blow it, you belong in a band. Maybe our guest in there will have a little bit more insight on this. Galveston Island Parade, Pride Festival, still on or not?
Yes. Yes, I have been told.
I have been told that they are going to go ahead with the Pride Festival in Galveston.
Well, I thought he would know. He's.
Why would he know? Why would you know?
It's kind of where I work.
I didn't know that.
He's kind of like one of the sponsors.
It's kind of like where I work.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
And where is it you work?
During the day, Gay and Lesbian Yellow Pages.
Oh, fabulous. And their sponsor?
They're a sponsor as well as they have people there that are helping to ramrod. Ooh, I like saying the word ramrod.
Uh-huh.
This event. And then you know more than I do. I know that Thursday, Friday, they were being encouraged by the city as well as other people. It may be abbreviated, it may be a little bit tougher, but they are trying to do something still, just for an uplifting sort of effect to get some things going on.
Okay.
I don't know any details.
Okay. So we're going to go with, they're still going to have it.
I don't know the competitions is safe, and I have less than $50 change. But other than that, you know, it gets you pretty far.
Thank you, Mr. Stephen Bunch.
We do have a correction to make.
Yes.
The information we just gave about Upstage Theater.
Yeah.
Their production of Catch Me If You Can. Unfortunately, Lambert Hall suffered severe damage as a result of Hurricane Ike.
No.
And the production has been postponed to the first 2 weeks in January.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, then you'll have to wait to see David Barron, the Box, playing a priest. He is such a hot guy. He has lent his singing voice to the live concert for the last many, many years. I think as long as Don Gill has put it on.
Okay. That's it with the calendar.
Yes. So now it must be time for an After Hours Quickie. And who's best to be a guest on that than Mr. Stephen Bunch, president of the Cult 45s.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Chris. Well, you know, it's the hurricane version.
Yes. So it's a big, what, hard and fast? Or?
Well, no, actually, and I will take just a second to thank everybody who has helped out the Cult 45s. So as we had a nice little fundraiser last Sunday.
Yes, you did.
It actually wasn't the Cult 45 fundraiser. It was people outside of the Cult 45s and around the Cult 45s who upraised, I'm just the president, but I think it's $1,200.
Yeah, it was something like that. It was considerable amount of money. And,
PWA, and Southern Country, Eresa, ICOH, if I name them all, I'm going to forget somebody. But
and the food drive for the MCC, our MCC pantry, right?
Resurrection MCC, yeah. Yes. It was a food drive as well as we will be starting that up and about soon. I don't know other details because it involves other clubs working together, and I'm not sure what they came up with, but I do know that Southern Country Houston does dance lessons every Thursday night at the BRB.
They do.
And every other, the first and third Fridays, Dreamcatchers do dance. Just come out and dance on Friday at the BRB. And since they have regular dates, as well as some organizations have shows, we are looking at doing a fundraiser, food donations starting in October and running through the end of the year. That'll culminate with a little bit of Thanksgiving as well as around the holiday times.
Sure.
And we have been blessed that many people helped out the Cult 45s because there were a lot of people that have requested help for us from us recently involving Ike.
Yeah, I'll bet.
And it's good to be remembered and good to be helpful. And we've had a lot of people come out and ask us if we are helping people, and we are. We've had referrals from Montrose Counseling Center, Legacy, AFH, Thomas Street. That's a bunch of people that have helped. So we want to say thank you to all of them.
Good. So what's on the agenda for the cults?
Currently, besides that, that will, in later October, I believe it's the 26th, I forgot my phone, but Mr. Tommy Allen has his holiday show, his Halloween show, Tear of Terror, which involves basically a tiara made of a hubcap and broken glass, but we won't go into that. So it's a dubious distinction, and that's where we'll kick off our food run fundraiser for the cults.
Tiaras
for the other
of
people.
Terror.
Tiaras of Terror. Be very afraid and have your tetanus shot. I myself am recovering from that Ike flu. So,
are you now?
Yeah, lots of fun stuff. As well as I'm doing the run here. I was trying to get my good personal friend, Mr. John Shevchek.
Where is he?
I don't know. He's probably at home because I forgot to call him and wake him up. I hate to wake him up so late because he needs his sleep.
Is he still recovering from the camp out?
You know, I don't know because I don't get to see him that much. He lives downstairs. but that Long Island Cars tells me that he has been very active since sorry, John. No, he's feeling very well. And that was a nice little PWA camp out, LBL
yes.
PWA camp
yes,
out.
Yes, it was.
You know, and I think you were there too, as I vaguely
was
remember.
Was I ever? It was a little too chilly for me to go au naturel, but
they don't call him Pinky in the Brain for nothing.
yeah, the brain was shriveled up a bit.
I think Merlin was very appreciative that it was too cold for that.
Yes, yes, he was. He mentioned that on numerous occasions.
Merlin was a doll up there. That was
Wasn't
nice
he?
To see him do the tarot readings.
Yes.
And I learned a lot about tarot readings because I sat down and I was there for about 10 minutes and I screamed all in, you know, because I've seen so much of this stuff on ESPN. Yeah. This whole, and I, you know, I didn't know. I had a good hand. What can I say?
I've heard that about you.
Well, you know, I'm better than any.
You have something in front of you.
I do. And
it's a piece of paper.
If you haven't received this in your email box, you will soon. This is a, you know, there's a lot of, what do they call it? Non-denominational type, just people having fun, getting out there, having, being helpful. Mm-hmm. And this is the Halloween Dog Show, October 26th. 2008 from 3 to 6 p.m. Uh-huh. Yes, I said 3 to 6 p.m. That's in the middle of the night for some of you bark people.
Yes, it
That's
is.
Early morning.
Yeah. I've finished coffee by then.
If you're a day walker, come on out. and this is a benefit for Pet Patrol.
So this is a Halloween costume contest for your pet.
Pets or, you know, they have, you know, there's been
the
a lot of talk about that.
Kind or awards the winged kind or, right. You know, the reptilian kind or...
Well, they're looking at dogs.
Not human pets.
No.
No, okay.
They're looking for dogs. It's a dog because that's what they do.
Oh, howling. Okay, gotcha.
Award for the best costume, which can, you know, I'm not going to coach anybody. It could be you and your dog or dogs. Pet owner look-alike contest.
That one.
You know, sometimes you don't need a costume for that.
That's true.
I just want one. And best pet trick, as well as the silent auction. I know they've got some silent auction items, as well as fabulous hot dogs.
Oh.
I know. You know, it's a little bit. And, Tony,
a little rude.
Tony at Tony's Corner Pocket is helping this out. They have, like, a little tent area. They're going to have, like, little... have a dog rest area. They're making
that
lots of combinations, accommodations to have areas for dogs and owners to interact in the bar and not just in the bar, but in their parking lot area. They'll have a tent and things like that set up. So it should be fun.
Are they going to have separate restroom facilities for female dogs and male dogs?
You know, I actually brought that up because It didn't involve cats. You know, we've had a lot of cats. Felt like they were a little bit left out of this event. But I've heard there'll be another event for that later on.
I see.
Separate but equal.
I hadn't heard about the Pussy Patrol.
If you can't beat them, lick them.
It's funny that Judy Reeves was mentioning it just last week.
What, the dog show?
Last week, we had a funny story you'll hear later about one of our guests coming up here who heard the story of the fact that Judy's pussy likes Jimmy and Judy got 8 inches a couple weeks ago.
Yes. She got water in her house, and I have come to really adore her cat. So she announced on the air that I was just in love with her pussy.
And the room went silent.
Yes, it did. Just like it's doing right now.
Being nice, because I might need her later.
So this is benefiting the Cat Patrol. And they kind of went away for a little bit, didn't they?
No, they did. And they have been active. You know, there's different organizations at Flux. Mm-hmm, where the cults know about that. Mm-hmm. As well, they have been active for the last couple of years.
That's great.
And they help people. I wish I had it in front of me because I was dumb not thinking about it. But I know it's people in need to help them with dog food, pet items. I won't say pet items, as well as assistance for health care for their vets, for their pets, and a lot of things like that. So the Colts have been. It's been nice that they've worked with the Colts the last few years. Helen Highwater. Hey, Helen.
Hey, Helen. How's it hanging, honey?
Started doing some work with Pet Patrol. And there's other people that we've known that have been clients that we've referred to Pet Patrol who, when they needed some help, and they've helped us out in the past, too. So it's a nice crew.
I will always love Helen Highwater because she could take the most mundane items and make fabulous outfits out of them.
And I have so much respect for Helen, since most of those mundane items are sitting in my house. But
I see.
But I'm not bitter.
Okay, now you can contact John Shefchik, and it would be easier for you to just email him at tex4ever@hotmail.com. tex4ever@hotmail.com.
Thank God it doesn't use his name.
Yeah, because you could have, you know, we could spell it out and we could say it and you would say, what?
I think we're planning a fundraiser to buy
it. It's sort of like SADE is Sade. You know, it's just, you look at this.
I was just to talk with him.
Where do you get Chef Check out of that?
If you could spell his name, you're cut off.
Yeah. I know. John is a...
They're looking for some event hosts, so if you've got some community experience that helps with animals, pets, if you know a vet, if you know somebody that does, different things out in the pet community, you can email him again, tex4ever@hotmail.com, because I know they have some booths already forthcoming from some different vets and some pet care groups and organizations, and
and if you want to know more about the pet patrol, it would be dubcubed.thepetpatrol.org. And the Pet Patrol is a 501c3 organization, so your donations are tax deductible. That's always nice. Mm-hmm.
So that's
fabulous.
Totally cold, but you know,
that's not on Halloween. That's October the 26th.
So it's kind of hands across the water, hands across the sea, because we all kind of help out. And it was, if you didn't mention it last week, you know, there was a nice little fundraiser at the Ripcord that I saw some people that I know that were burning burgers and passing out. Well, they weren't passing out, but they, you know, were helping with food and things of that sort. So a lot of the organizations they don't get credit per se, but that's the terrible thing I've learned with the Colts. You get big men's club and you get the Bears, and there's a lot of people from a lot of organizations that just come out and help, and it's tough to mention them all, because if you'll forget somebody that showed up with a different hat on.
Well, you know, groups like the Bears and the big men's club, they do these things for a lot of organizations, but they don't do it so that they can be recognized. They do it because it's the right thing to do.
Well, it's not just that. We had we had a nice donation from the gay couples group.
Oh yeah.
Last. You know, and I'm bad with names.
Mm-hmm.
That there were a lot of groups like that that came out to the fundraiser
mm-hmm.
last week that that you don't normally see, and you don't know them because they don't beat on the chest and say, this is us, but you recognize them as you go along. Like, we went to Fade Do tonight for the crew, and there's a lot of people you get to meet that you don't know.
Yes.
You know the faces, but you don't know that they're with an organization or that they don't have an agenda, but they're just out there trying to help.
So you had a good dinner. Fade Do. They always have good food there.
It was very good, and it was... It was at a place I'd never been, so that was kind of nice.
Oh.
It was a little B&B up in the Heights.
Mm-hmm.
And the crew does a fabulous job.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
They have silent auctions and things like that. So you get to meet people, and I don't know, I feel so weird talking about it because it's just I lost a couple of weeks with Ike. But
yeah, I know. We're all kind of in flux right now. Anyway, it's do we have folks waiting in the wings?
Yeah, so you want to give some information about the Colts, and then we'll have stage door up.
Okay.
Okay, and I'll say it real quick. We do have our AIDS Trouble Fund. If you would like more information, you can go to www.colt45s.org. www.colt45s.org, and there are links to our AIDS Trouble Fund there that we're also helping. That's people with AIDS who are on disability, as well as we are trying to work with people that don't quite fit in our qualify for that fund. We've got a lot of groups who are trying to help you if you need some help due to the hurricane.
Yeah.
We do rent utility assistance, and there are other people working with us trying to help people get by.
Good.
If you've got a visitor that you need to get out of your house. Sorry, that's your problem. No, there are other people that are doing that. So
he's already planning on moving just to keep her out. You know?
He might as well just put the ramp in.
I was just going to sign the lease over to her. And
there you go.
Anyway.
Well, she said, you know, with this whole G-Cam thing, she collects relics. So, you know.
Woo! Stephen, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, everybody.
And I love how you put out the word every month that, okay, the Colts are going to be on After Hours. I mean, you let folks know you're going to be here.
Well, you mean the different Colts? Well,
yeah, you send the notice out.
Well, yes, I do that.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. You're on our super secret email list.
Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, there's a lot of people. Boy, it was real busy, so I'm not making excuses for people, but we know that. Boy, there's a lot of the other Colts that would have liked to have been here, but sometimes, you know, being close is a good thing. Sometimes being close is a bad thing. Tonight it was a good thing.
Good. I'm glad it was a good thing.
Thank you all.
And tell the Empress hello for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I sure will.
Okay.
The Empress in jeans.
Go to a little bit of music and come back with the people from Stage Door and Kink. We'll be right back. Cool Down Bronski beat there. A small town boy. And we're joined in the studio. We were hoping to have him in here a couple weeks ago, but that damn Hurricane Ike kind of screwed up our schedule. And fortunately, I was down there to see their production tonight and tried grabbing as many of them as we could. Yeah, your mics are live in there. No one was saying anything loud enough that I could hear, at least.
So no talking dirty.
Oh, man.
But joining us here in studio is the group from Stage Door, Inc., the Center for Performing Arts and Education. And they're currently putting on the Laramie Project by Moises Kaufman. And while I have all you introduce yourselves...
I'm Brian Burley.
Karen Rush.
Misty Banks.
Zach Varela.
Dario Faila. And Mark Anthony Glover.
And Ricky Welch, you know, from Hot and Bothered.
And Ricky's the reason we got Ricky's the one who told us about this, and it's like, try to get the group all together here. And, Mark, you're the director of this.
Correct.
So, first thing I got to ask is this. The Laramie Project in Pasadena, Texas.
Why not?
Why not? Especially if you add in the fact we're talking, the theater is in the mall.
Yes. Right on the wonderful corner of Pasadena Town Square Mall.
You know, we have other theater groups that have come in here. It's an interesting venue. You've got 60 seats.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In there, and very comfortable, very intimate with the performers in there. So, I mean, tell us about the organization first.
Organization, we've been going on for about 2 years. Started on the spur of a whim. We were presented with the opportunity to start our own nonprofit theater. Decided to go ahead and start it in the north side of Pasadena because me and Dario, my partner, have been longtime volunteers in Pasadena with some of the organizations there and felt that it was time that something a little less comfortable was brought into that area.
Oh, God.
And so we decided the north side, there's a big revitalization trying to happen on the north side of Pasadena, so we figured that we would try to bring ourselves in the north side to bring a different atmosphere of theater, which people aren't used to Pasadena.
Different type of theater or different, or just theater, period?
A little bit of both.
A little bit. Now, Stage Door, they're a 501c3 nonprofit.
Correct.
So
that means we can take donations.
That was good.
Yeah, that's always a good thing. Yeah.
High five on that. So... Now, the interest party, you've got the Laramie Project going on here during, right on the 10th anniversary.
Yes, our closing performance will be on the 10th anniversary of Matthew Shepard's death.
And, so we've got some of the cast members here. Some of them are the technical part. And I'll tell you, well, the one thing I found amazing was going through and being able to recognize the characters. Because you have, each person does... What, about 4 or 5 characters, some of y'all?
Yeah, it averages 4 to 5. There's some that take on up to 8 to 10.
Except for me.
I play 7 characters.
I play 7 characters.
I'm the bingo caller.
Yeah. And to be able to still even be able to recognize them without the announcer or the...
Bingo
the
caller.
That's what you call it, the bingo caller?
The bingo caller, the narrator.
The narrator captioner, basically, who pops in from the side.
right or the left. Know. Yeah.
I loved how sometimes that the actors didn't remember that you were supposed to come on. Well, and the only reason you know that is because the light's shining on him, and it's like, he starts to speak, and he's like...
We're just glad he actually came in, though.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh,
it's weird when you're watching the theater setting, and, you know, the characters pop in and out. It's so active moving, mm-hmm. You know. So the narrator pops in on one side, and the next moment, you know... You know, about 45 seconds later, he's on the other side of the stage and had to go run around. And
you know, one character will kind of back off stage one and pop out on the other end, you know, in a different...
That's a completely different...
Different
guy.
We
missed a week of rehearsal due to Hurricane Ike, and everybody asked me how it was going, and I would tell them, you know, I got the characters down, I got the lines memorized, but knowing where the hell I'm supposed to be.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
I said the same thing.
No clue.
Yeah.
That's my fault. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I can't do anything similar to cinema every angle.
And
then,
right before we open, it all changes.
Yeah, I do have to say that we were blessed getting a cast that was able to miss. Like he said, we missed right at a week of rehearsal, and we didn't push the show back. We didn't want to hold it. We actually came in and did a Saturday all day and a Sunday all day and went immediately into tech.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, they have diversity of characters. I mean, Ricky, he played a limo driver with a cowboy hat, a cop, a priest, a judge, an old man.
Imagine shuffling all those things. I'm carrying that cleric collar in my pocket, and, you know, and, like, the other night I dropped my badge. And I'm like, oh, man.
How can you find in there? Because it's something in the dark. I was... You know, I was watching him going, I hope... And the first part was really dramatic with the flashlights. It starts off, the theater's dark, and then each character talks. You shine a flashlight in your face, and, you know, like when you were at summer camp, and you put your... You're told to go sort of, that sort of effect. And it was just... It was something very dramatic. And it was one of those things, you get so enthralled in it. I mean... We had to ask if we were at intermission or not because it was so much emotion at that point. It's like, are we over or not? But let me ask the actors in this. What drew you into this play?
For me, the minute I got the audition notice, this is a show I've wanted to do. And if you notice my bio, I only do shows every so often. And it just happened, it was Jungian, because a guy where I work said, you know, look, I can cover for you. I can start working evenings and let you work during the day so you can go do a show, because he knows that I've been wanting to do a show. And when I saw Laramie Project, I mean, my daughter, Clarity, she was envious because she's like, why didn't they do it at the beginning of the summer? You know, just going out to audition, I was excited about it, so... That's how I got drawn in.
I got poked in the back.
Mark actually just kind of started talking about the show, and he was like, you know, you should audition. It'll be something different because I'm really used to doing comedies, and this is not. And I watched the movie and was really kind of moved and kind of appalled by how ignorant people can be, and that's kind of just what drew me into it. So,
well, I knew the show meant a lot to Mark. And I auditioned not knowing if I was going to get a part. And then when I did, it was like a whole new thing for me in theater.
This one here has been with me since she's
9.
Very, 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 very young.
So it was all new.
Well, I love doing shows with Mark. I love all, like, the vision that he has. And just all the shows that I've done with him have always been like a success. And I love that. And, I really thought that it was a story that needed to be told, and that's what really drew me into it, because it's very interesting, and a lot of people don't know anything about anything like this, and they've never heard anything like this, and so I just really wanted to be a part of help telling that story.
Well, I mean, I've had two people that I mentioned, a friend of mine I mentioned about the Laramie Project, he's like, what? And someone here at the station, too. It was, they didn't know about this.
Yeah, and you had asked while ago about doing it in Pasadena. We have had, actually, shocking to myself, we have actually had a really positive feedback that we're actually doing this show in Pasadena. We've had people that I would never pen for knowing what this show is about walk into the theater and be like, wow, you're doing the Laramie Project? That's a big thing. You know, and ask questions. And we've had some of those people come back and see them, and some of them are seniors who you wouldn't peg that would be coming out to support a show of the standard that it supports. So it's like, I was personally shocked whenever we were kind of nervous when we first put it up, but just because of the response, again, being in Pasadena. But we had already set ourselves apart of the shows that we have decided to put up, and like next season coming up, we have some shows that are still considered risque, being one of my all-time favorites, Assorted Lies by Del Shores. Some people still find it just because of the language and everything else. But altogether, there's a positive feedback, and so we went with it. The mall has been supportive, and their management has been supportive and said, you know, here we are, let's do it. It's time to do something like this and get the message out there. So,
See, I'm not usually the one who does the theater interviews. I have Jimmy in here who does these. Let him song. So we've got 3 weekends of performances you're doing on this one here. So we've got 4 more opportunities to catch this this play. We've got tomorrow and next Sunday at 3.
Yes.
At 3. And then 8 p.m. at Monday and next Friday and Saturday.
Correct.
On that.
And then all the tickets are available. You can purchase the tickets through the website, which is www.stagedoorinc.com. We are one of the only theaters on the outside of the loop that actually has a box office open Monday through Friday. We're open 12 to 5, so you can stop by the box office and pick up anything, literature about the theater, what shows are going on, and purchase your tickets. And anything else about marketing, I'll hand it to the marketing director.
Well, let me stick one more thing on with this. I mean, was there anything that to the actors or to the staff there, that anything that you learned from doing this production that you think someone may not have known about this story that they need to know?
Wow. There's a lot.
I think that it's timeless. There is no time to it. It could be placed at any time. And that's one thing that really struck a chord with me, how timeless this show is and the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we went into it, I told him to, just as an aspect, to take out the fact that it is about Matthew Shepard and that it is about homosexuality and that he was hated against because of his homosexuality. And I told him, just take this and put it with any hate crime in general. And as you've seen the show tonight, you noticed that on the wall we had the display.
Oh, yeah. I almost forgot about that.
Since 1998, there's been over 100,000 hate crimes committed in the United States. Reported. And that source comes from the FBI. So you can imagine how many go unreported. And in the lobby of the theater, we have a whole wall covered with 100,000 dots just to resemble. Each dot represents one person. So when we first started this, I told him, I said, take the fact that he was gay and that's why it happened and put any other person because of their race, because of their, I mean, we went through age. We even looked at some things where one person was hated against because he had long hair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we took Matthew out of it for a short, at the beginning, just for a short pause to look at the different world of hate. And then we took Matthew and put him back in and said, now we have to get all of the message of hate. Matthew just happens to be the centralized location or the centralized figure of this one story. So we have to try to get all of these other stories as well as Matthew's story across just to get the passion from my perspective. And many other can probably reference with me that we've all faced some sort of hate, whether it be name calling or being attacked or something else. So a lot of us who are gay and who come from the homosexual standards are not always treated the way that humans should be treated.
And I get mistreated because I'm so dang pretty.
Well, the co-executive producer here hits on him frequently. I was really moved in there. And with seeing this production, I mean, I remember when it happened. In fact, at the time when that occurred, I was just starting here with the station. I was very heavily involved with Q Patrol, which dealt with hate crimes here in the community. And coming back and hearing the stories and the sources, and the interesting part is not just hearing, you know, the positive things there with Matthew Shepard, what happened there, but hearing, you know, the other townsfolk stories who were like, you know, I understand, but come on, you know, there was a highway patrolman who was killed, and usually that grabs everyone's attention, but this one guy gets beat up and no one notices that a cop was killed.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, those sorts of parts there. You know, I mean, like you said, it's a timeless story that we have to remember. You know, I'm just sorry we couldn't contact Fred Phelps so he can have a picket out front.
Well, one of our crew people decided to send them an email.
Yeah.
So who knows when the Phelps regime is going to show up.
They answer after 15 minutes.
They answered and said, wanted to know if Houston was okay, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we're like, wonderful.
Thanks.
Bring it. Yeah, if that's the way they feel, come on. More publicity for myself. So.
Personally, that was thinking that too, and I've checked their website a couple of times, and apparently there's a.
You're in Maryland or something.
Yeah, in Maryland.
We need to remind you that you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, right here on good old KPFT Houston 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston, and on the World Wide Web at dubcubed.kpft.org.
I'm usually the one who has to remember that. I was so pulled into this, I forgot. We're here with the group from Stage Door, Inc., the Center for Performing Arts and Education. It's currently about halfway through their run of the Laramie Project down at the Pasadena Town Square Mall. Turn left at Jack in the Box and head for the there's not a sign out front of the door, and I... so it's, you know, the first entrance over there by between the Jack in the Box and the Sears where you
entrance
go in.
Entrance A, northwest corner.
What are some of your other production plans that you're coming up to here, you know, this year and next?
We are already in rehearsals for our upcoming Christmas production, which is Christmas Bells. It is your good, wholesome, heartfelt Christmas show with a trailer park twist. So we are going big hair and tacky tinsel. Woo-hoo. Yay! All the drag queens will be happy. Matter of fact, I'm going to be contacting some of them that are friends and saying, I need your hair.
Now, what is your Halloween production you have?
We actually, this will be the second year we have done this. This year, since we are in the space at the mall, we are going to be transforming our space, actually the day after Laramie closes, into right at a 5,000-square-foot haunted house. And that is our big fundraiser for the year. We transform the theater into the haunted house. $5 admission. You can't beat that, whether it's good or not, in your opinion. It all goes back to support the events that are coming up throughout the year and help us offset some of our other productions that are coming up.
And see some of the other stuff.
What's it called?
Stages of Fear.
Stages of Fear.
And when does it open? From when to when?
The dates are Fridays, October 17th and 24th, and the times for that is 6:30 to 9. Saturdays, October 18th and 25th, which is 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. Sundays, October 19th and 26th. 2 to 6, and then we have a special Friday night, which is Halloween night. We're open from actually 6:30 until 11. We'll stop letting people line up around 10:30 so that we can clear out and be out by midnight, just because mall actually closes at 9 and they give us special permission to be late. Because Halloween falls on a Friday this year, we're hoping to have an extra spooktacular time.
Not so spooktacular.
It's going to be very fun. And actually, these Dario, Misty, and Karen were in last year's, and last year's was held in the mall, but we were on the different side, and we got a really good response from it, and it was a lot of fun, so we figured we might as well just make that our staple fundraiser for the year and keep it going. And actually, out of the six of us that are here tonight, four of us are board members for the organization, so we have, like, Misty is our historian. She helps us keep all the records, make sure all the records stay. Dario's our technical director. He makes sure that what you've seen tonight was technically on cue.
Oh.
So that is Dario's job.
Yay, Dario.
Zach is our newly elected to the board. He is our marketing manager because as we keep growing, it's becoming to where some of us who were handling it can no longer handle it. So we need someone that can strictly take it on.
Yay, Zach. All right. So Stage Door, Inc., you can go check them out on the website, stagedoorinc.com. And once again, if you have not seen it or if you've seen the Laramie Project before, you need to get your asses down there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we are working really closely with the Matthew Shepard Foundation, and you'll see, and you're seeing, I'll see that you're looking at the playbill itself. We put his story in there and also a little bit about the foundation. Foundation is still currently pushing the legislation that keeps getting opted out, which, wonderful, that's the way the government works. But Judy Shepherd, which is his mother, is still adamant, and all the money that the foundation raises goes to keep helping that and also to help queer youth and their struggles that they go through every day, as well as Erase the Hate campaign, which again comes back to the legislation. Some of our ticket sales from this show will be going back to the Matthew Shepherd Foundation to, as a sentiment from us to Judy Shepherd and the family and the foundation itself. So that's our big thing, is that we wanted to make sure that when we did it right and went through with the Matthew Shepherd Foundation to make sure we had their great blessings to do the show and did it to what they would see fit in the memory of Matthew. So,
and if I found more information on the Matthew Shepherd Foundation, it's matthewshepherd.org, and it's S-H-E-P-A-R-D .org. Stage Door Inc. Once again, four more chances. Sundays, three. Next Friday and Saturday at 8.
Yes.
And down at Pasadena Town Square. Thank you all for coming in. I know it's been a long night for you.
Thanks.
Great
for
production.
Thank you.
You know, we'll definitely talk more about your organization and bringing you back again. I think the Wizard of Oz kind of fits in our
sort of
lives.
I would say so.
And as I told you there, you know, some of the things I do with my group there, this nonsense and nuncrackers kind of go in my alley.
Somebody hit the floor.
All right. Thank you all for coming in. And let's play a little bit of music and figure out where we're going to next. This is After Hours on KPFT. The taller I become, the farther you take my rights away, the faster I will run. You can deny me, you can decide to turn your face away.
Something inside so strong, I know that I can make it. Oh, you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone. Oh no,
oh no,
there's something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong. Something inside so strong.
The more you refuse to hear my voice, the louder I will sing.
I will sing.
The more you refuse the things I need, the more I want everything. Deny my place in time. You squander wealth that's mine.
My life will shine
so brightly, it will blind you.
Blind you.
But there's something inside so strong. Oh, I know that I can make it. Though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone.
Oh no.
Something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong. Oh, no. Something inside so strong.
Oh. Brothers and sisters, when they insist we're just not good enough.
Not good enough.
Oh. What do we do then? Oh. We'll look them in the eyes and say, we're gonna do it anyway.
Say.
We're gonna do it anyway.
Say. Something inside so strong. Oh, I know that I can make it. Though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone.
Oh no,
there's something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong.
Oh no, something inside.
is something so strong. It's so
all in love is fair. turn of the cheek. And I feel the slap and the sting of the foul night air. And I know you're only human, and I haven't got talking room. But tonight while I'm making excuses, some other woman is making love to you. Somebody bring me some water. Can't you see I'm burning? Will this night be through? Wanna hear the breaking glass? I wanna feel the steel of the red hot truth, and I'd do anything to get it out of my mind. I need some insanity for that temporary kind. Tell me, how will I ever be the same when I know that that woman is whispering?
Perfect timing and my idea of perfect timing don't match.
Oh, well, you were in the room just because you weren't sitting down.
Yeah, but my fat ass was on the other side of you.
Yeah, well, like, it takes that much room to get around my skinny ass.
I take up a lot of room. I forgot to tell you the story of, we were teasing earlier about the, we were talking last week about Judy's pussy and getting 8 inches.
Yes.
Mark from Stage Shore mm-hmm. was listening to the show last week.
Oh.
Driving at that time.
Oh, no. Oh, no. He heard the...
Yeah. He almost had to get pulled out of a ditch. It was a little...
The phone is ringing, and I'll bet that is Josh from Hatch.
Who broke...
Well, I didn't do it.
It's broken.
You pushed the...
Well, then push the top one.
And you just push the top? Josh, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
I have to say this officially. You are on the air.
Really?
Yeah, I have to say, you know.
What?
FCC regulation. Even if they know they're going to be on the air, you got to tell them they're on the air.
When they're on the air, you have to tell them they're on the air when they're on the air.
Yeah.
Yes, I understand. That's I understand. Sorry. I've heard this before.
But
and you know us, we don't want to do anything that would get us in trouble with the FCC.
Mm. Yes, yes, of course not. I was like, let me turn off my radio because it's about 2 minutes off. Not 2 minutes, but 10, 20 seconds off.
Yeah,
there's
the 8 second delay, and I don't know if they fixed the microwave yet.
Microwave.
Well, you know that's how we get the signal from the studio to the transmitter.
Yes. Yes.
So it was damaged during Ike.
Mm-hmm.
So there for a while, anything they broadcast from the studio was actually by internet, which is how we would normally do a live remote.
Which was like 3 minutes off.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, I was about to say. I was like, this seems a little bit odd. Because I'm listening to the radio show, and it's like, huh, this sounds like they're a minute or two ahead of me. So
deja vu.
next time you're here in studio, I'll show you where you can stand here out in the lobby. You'll get really confused because in one ear you'll hear it live, and in the other ear you'll hear it like 30 seconds to a minute later
on the radio.
On the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
You are with Hatch.
Yes, I am.
For those who didn't know who Josh was, because, I mean, we didn't exactly identify
him. Yes, announce it.
And I was talking to Brendan.
Mm-hmm.
And he suggested maybe it would be a good idea if Chris and I went to Hatch and did a little dog and pony show and maybe got some... Stop looking like that, Chris. Russell up some...
I am innocent.
Not by a long shot. Russell up some maybe renewed interest in After Hours with the Hatch folks.
Yes, that sounds wonderful to me. Yes, I've talked to Deb about it, and mm-hmm. she seemed interested in it.
Okay.
I'll talk to her later on tomorrow, hopefully, or today, actually, yes.
When's the last time you talked to Deb?
I talked to her. Oh, I'm like a stalker for that woman.
Well, good. Yeah, well, not good, but because I've not had a chance to talk with her since the hurricane.
Oh, yeah.
And I know she was redoing a wonderful two-story old Victorian.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is.
So what happened?
It got, if I remember correctly, it got 8 inches of water inside of the house.
Only 8 inches?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Wow.
And she was lucky, but the bad thing is, everything downstairs,
yes.
It was completely ruined.
Mm-hmm.
So because of how Galveston controlled everything and they weren't letting people in, and she went to New York. So when she came back down, she didn't have a chance to open up the windows and look at everything.
Ouch.
So she came in the Thursday after they were letting everybody in.
Oh.
So after that, the damage had already been done.
It
so.
Had a whole week to stew.
Yeah, yes, mm. Exactly. Mm. Exactly. I know, I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she was okay with everything because at least she had everybody in her life that was safe.
Mm.
And she made sure to bring all her family photos and her cat.
Of course.
And her cat and place them in the loving hands of her best friend. So yeah, it was, she's okay. I'm happy about that. I called her the day before the storm, and I was like, Deb, I was like, are you going to be okay? And I was like, she was like, oh, I'm in New York. So I was like, okay.
Oh.
Like, I was like.
I had a similar thing. I called a friend up to see how they were doing. I said, oh, we're doing fine. We're in Dallas.
Yeah, I know. It's just, oh, we're over here. I had one friend, and he was like, oh, we're in Lafayette. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
And I was like, so. And who was the stupid one who decided to stay in Houston? Me.
Oh, I wouldn't dream of leaving Houston. I've been through hurricanes before.
Yes.
The last hurricane, actually, Alicia. Nobody left Houston.
Yeah.
People didn't do that back then.
it was just, it just amazed me.
Yeah.
How,
this is a new thing about leaving Houston.
But
I,
for me,
I would leave, if I lived in Galveston, I would leave Galveston for a hurricane, but not Houston.
For me, I was boarding, like, I took down all my posters, and I was preparing for the apocalypse, and everybody else was, like, taping up the windows, and I was like, what are your, we have this huge picture window, and I was like, what are we going to do about that? And they were like, oh, we're just going to tape it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh,
tape it? Is that all? Ah!
And I was putting my posters all up in my window. I was like, I am not about to die today. No, thank you. No. And then once the storm was over, it was like, oh, okay.
I must admit, I did take down my favorite pictures and angels and things off the walls. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. Just in case.
Yeah.
But the thing that I'm going to talk about tonight is GOBT History Month. And since October is GOBT History Month, I thought I'd talk about that and some people that have affected our history. And I also wanted to mention if the Stage Door Inc. needs my wig, just call me. Uh-huh. Okay? Yeah.
It's big. I can attest to that. It's big.
Oh, yeah, my wig, yeah. I can also do my hair up, so if y'all have a need to make
another... Josh has a really big one.
Uh-huh. It's a big bouffant.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the people that I'm going to talk about tonight are Del Martin, Phyllis Lyon,
mm-hmm.
Harvey Milk, of course, Walt Whitman, Billie Jean King... Renee Richards, and Billie Holiday, and Laurence Olivier. And because I actually chose these people because I go to my Houston Community College.
That's a pretty damn good cross section.
Yes, I made sure I had two couples. I have two couples, actually. Mm-hmm. I have Del Martin and Phyllis Lyon, and I have Walt Whitman and Peter Doyle.
Mm-hmm.
And I had those two because I'm actually doing a library display for my HCC campus.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, okay, you want to do a library display. And so this lovely... older woman, she's like, oh, okay. She had no problem with it. She was like, okay, do you need any help? And she was like, she had no problem with it at all.
Great.
And she was really nice, so I was like, okay. And so I basically put it all together, and I'm looking forward to it because it's definitely going to raise some eyebrows. I know, I know that, but I'm looking forward to that.
Okay.
But the reason why I chose these people is because I made sure that I had an equal mix of people, especially for the bisexual and transgender.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also going to mention Albert Tashier, if many people probably haven't heard of him, but yeah, but he's also transgender. But let's see, I think I'll start with Del Martin and Phyllis Lyon,
mm-hmm.
and then just slowly work my way down.
Okay.
If any of y'all don't know who Del Martin and Phyllis Lyon were, who died recently? I think it was Phyllis.
Del?
Del. Okay. Yeah. Del Martin recently passed away, and they were together 55 years? No.
I think you're right.
Yeah, 55 years.
Mm-hmm.
I remember reading their bio. I was just skimming through it. They met in 1950, and they were friends for 2 years. And then after that 2 years, they got together, and they actually formed the first lesbian group the Daughters of the Lightest.
Mm-hmm.
The Lightest. And after that, they have been, I know that they have done a lot for the GOBT community. And just recently, they were the first couple in San Francisco to get married.
Yes.
I was like, oh, isn't that great? And then I kind of was looking at everything, and I was like, so they were only married 2 years out of...
Legally.
Yes, legally married 2 years out of being together 55 years. And in a way, it made me a little bit mad because of the injustice in that little fact that we can be together so long and still we're not recognized by our government. So it just, yeah, it just made me really mad at that fact. It just amazes me at how dumbfound our government can be sometimes. But
yeah, because they were probably the most recognized and the most famous lesbian couple in America.
Yes.
And still, legally, they were merely friends.
Yes. It just happens all throughout our history. I think that our history will change eventually, but...
Yeah.
But it's just going to be a long time coming.
It will be.
Because we've lost so many people along the road for equality, and we will lose plenty of more.
Yeah.
Trying to get equality in other nations. And that's a scary fact sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that we have to do is that we, in a way, have to keep on going, because in the end, I believe that we'll all be created equal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a big thing with me about that. And let me read more on them.
Yes.
Let me see. Yeah, I got notes, and then I was like a little scatterbrained because I was rushing around because I am on the phone and everything. And I was like, oh my goodness, did anybody show up? And I was just rushing around my house like there's no tomorrow.
Trying to get all your notes together?
Yes, I was like, heart palpitations.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, right now the internet's popping up, so oh, it's a miracle. Yes. But yeah, it's just really crazy about, I guess I've just been trying to do so many different things.
Yeah, we run into that when we're trying to do the round table at the end, and mm-hmm. we're basically on the internet going, come on, hurry
come
up.
Come on, hurry. They, Dell and Phyllis were looked up to by not only the entire lesbian community, but the gay community, too, for a relationship that lasted so long, and it was so solid.
Yeah. But it popped up, actually. So, let's see. In 1955, they started the Daughters of the Lightest,
mm-hmm.
which became the first social and political organization for lesbians in the United States. And then they acted as president and editor of the latter until 1963.
Yes. The latter, does it say what the latter was?
Let me see. The latter, the first nationally distributed lesbian publication in the United States.
Yes, and at the time, it was illegal for such publications to go through the mails, and so it was done very
secretly.
Yes, and lesbians would pass them. They were done on mimeograph sheets. Lesbians would pass them to each other. I mean, many lesbians would have read every single one. And... Deb Murphy gave GCAM a bound cop, a bound set of the entire ladder from the beginning, the first publication, to the very last for the museum. So we have every one of them.
Yeah. I loved it because she always does something. She always knows. She always, to me, she's like a walking encyclopedia of GLBT history.
Oh, yeah.
Partially because she's lived through it. And in a way that always amazes me, because she always says that she's an old feminist. And she's like, well, I don't believe in marriage, but I still would like to have a choice.
Yes.
So it's just very, very interesting to me. But I love her to death.
Mm-hmm.
I love the woman to death.
Okay.
But yeah. But let's see. And they remained involved in the Daughters of Pilates until joining the National Organization of Women, otherwise known as NOW, as the first couple to actually join the National Organization of Women. And let's see, they worked to form the Council of Religion and Homosexuality in Northern California to persuade ministers to accept homosexuals into churches and use their influence to decriminalize homosexuality in the late 1960s and early 70s. And it just goes on and mentions the different awards and different things that they've been a part of.
Well, I mean, the amazing thing about them was that, as you said, when San Francisco did the civil unions, they were one of the first ones. And when California Supreme Court ruled that you can have gay marriage, Mayor Newsom invited them to be the first ones and he presided over their ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And it was within a month, I think, was when they passed away from that Dell passed away on that one after the formal legal marriage ceremony.
Yeah. That's just... Let's see.
Why don't we go into another one of the people on your list?
Billie Jean King. One of the different things that people don't know about her is that she was married before she won the tennis tournament. Once I found this out, I was like, what?
Yeah.
She was married? It's amazing.
To a man.
Yes, to a man.
In fact, if I remember, King was his name.
Yes.
That's not her maiden name. Billie Jean King was her married name.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And let's see, she became one of, I believe she won the Battle of the Sexes, the
tennis match here at the Astrodome.
Yeah, it was at the Astrodome.
Yeah, against Bobby Riggs.
Yes.
That was at the point where in the early part of her career, and in some ways it still happens today that women's tennis, the prizes were less, a lot less than they were for men.
Yes. Yes.
And they weren't able to get them to raise those. In fact, not until recently that the women's prizes for Wimbledon were raised up almost towards what the men make, not as much. And she was part of forming a women's tennis organization, and there was eight of them that got together and put in a dollar as their dues and became an official organizer and started doing professional tournaments. That's where, if you've ever heard about the Virginia Slims tournament, that's where they were. They had corporate sponsors, and a cigarette manufacturer promoted their events, and even tried to do professional tennis teams.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the one Elton John song was dedicated, was based off of one of the women's professional tennis teams they had, which was called Philadelphia Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I just happened to catch one of those Billie Jean King documentary once on HBO.
But yeah, I'm just looking through her Wikipedia entry, and it's quite big. I'm actually mentioning two tennis stars, and the other tennis star is Renee Richards. And for y'all that don't know who she was, I'm not sure if she's still alive, but Renee Richards was the first trans woman to ever win the tennis, to win, I believe it was a tennis tournament.
I forget which tournament.
I think it was I forget which tournament too, but she was the first woman to win, first transgender woman to win the, I'm just looking.
And the important thing is Renee Richards actually started the career as a male tennis sports person, and was one of the first well-known sex reassignment surgery cases in the world. I believe ran off to Sweden, had the surgery, came back as Renee Richards, and continued her career, and I think went into psychology, if I'm remembering right. I would click it on Wikipedia, but I have a very bad habit of getting into what I call a wiki loop.
Okay. I understand. I actually watched a documentary on her, and it wasn't a documentary. It was a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah.
And it was with Vivian Redgrave, I believe.
Vanessa Redgrave.
And yeah, it was just very interesting. She actually had, I believe she had her surgery. It says Casablanca, but I'm not sure. Tending to see. Yeah. I believe. Interesting. Well, she actually, I'm just looking through everything. She actually went to Casablanca, planned to have the surgery, and then she got scared because of the way people were looking at her. And so she went back to New York, and since she didn't decide to have the surgery, she just went off and she lived as a male for a couple more years. And she realized that she wasn't in the right sex. She didn't feel right. And so she married and she had a child. And then later on in her life, in 1975, she successfully transitioned. And this was 15 years later. So it's very interesting. And I'm just looking. But one of the things that she had difficulties in is that the fact that she was transgender. And one of the things that they do if you want to play tennis, you have to sometimes you have to get a affidavit proving that you are either X or XY, and you have to prove that you're either male or female. And with her case, she said, I've been living as a woman for this long period of time that I may be still XY, but I'm still a woman. And so she had difficulties in that, and she went to court and she won the case. And I believe
and she won the U.S. Open and women's singles, and she was twice a semifinalist in mixed doubles. It's very interesting. It's very interesting. And all throughout her life, she was a doctor, and she was an ophthalmologist. So, it's very interesting. But let's see. And let me move on to the other person on my list, Harvey Milk. A lot of young people nowadays don't understand who Harvey Milk was and his legacy, and it's just a shame that people don't know who our history is. It's just flipping through the pages of gay life and culture, gay American history. It's just things that you learn from here and there. It's just very important to realize that when you are a gay teenager, you have to realize that people came before you. They set the road before you in order for you to be who you are today. It just amazes me at how far we've come. And I understand that our history is long and that it goes back centuries, and most people don't understand that all throughout history there have been gay people. There have been people who have been GLBT. It just amazes me. But back to my subject.
The good part about at least with the Harvey Milk story is that for those of you who don't want to read the history of it, you'll be able to plop down $8 and go down to the movie theater and see. Last time I heard, there was two movies coming out here soon about Harvey Milk. One's got a little bit more attention than the others, with Gus Van Sant and directing it, and Sean Penn playing Harvey.
Yeah, one was just called, I believe one's just called Milk.
Yeah.
And I've heard about that. But Harvey Milk was the first openly gay. I believe he was the first openly gay politician. To be elected to a public office, and he was a member of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. And all throughout Harvey Milk's career, he wanted to be in the public spotlight. And he tried, actually, I believe two or three times to be elected into a public spot on the Board of Supervisors. The first time that he ran, he didn't win. But I believe the third time he ran, he won. And he actually, for a while, he ran a camera store. And in 1973, he decided to run for city supervisor. And when it came up that he was gay, it didn't go over well. But in 1977, he won. And then all throughout this period, there was another person on the Board of Supervisors, the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, and his name was Dan White. And Dan White didn't like Harvey Milk. They didn't get along because of the different things that they were trying to pass and different things like that. And actually, at one point, Harvey Milk and Dan White decided to step down from his position, and he decided to resign, and then he wanted his job back. And Milk talked to Mayor George Moscone, and they were talking, and he says, "You shouldn't hire him back. He isn't the right person
for the job, and so Dan White wasn't hired back, and so Dan White decided to assassinate Harvey Milk and Mayor George Moscone. And I believe what happened after that was the was it White Night? I can't remember.
The White Night riots that occurred following the acquittal. Well, I'm sorry, not the it wasn't an acquittal. He was found guilty of lesser charges and sentenced to a short time in jail.
And later on, he was found. I believe he committed suicide. I remember reading. He was the first person to ever use the Twinkie defense, saying that, like, oh, our culture is so violent that our culture caused me to do this.
Well, what it came down to is after he resigned and his supporters tried to getting him to ask for his job back, while he was waiting to find out from Mayor Moscone, he basically consisted off of a diet of Twinkies and Coca-Cola. And so the argument was the fact that he committed the murder because he was high on sugar is what the Twinkie defense comes down to. And the fact that he, you know, made sure he went through a entrance. He snuck into the city hall so he wouldn't have to go through metal detectors for guns. You know, showed a little bit of premeditation and other parts on that. And so he, the fact that he did not receive a stronger sentence for the two murders caused a lot of people in the neighborhood, in the community to riot and full force, and like I said, that was referred to as the White Knights riot. And then eventually after his release from prison, he thought he'd be able to be accepted back into society and was not, and had his difficulties and ended up killing himself by driving the car, running the car in the garage.
Yeah.
So, it's and like I said, it's a great opportunity for a generation who's not into reading the history. I mean, when I was, during my coming out, I went out and bought some of the books, The Gay Almanac, The Gay History, and studied it. And unfortunately, you don't get that much. But, you know, you have an opportunity for those who can at least handle watching a movie and understanding it, that hopefully that with the movie Milk, they'll be able to put a good light on what happened and give you good information and a truthful story about it.
I know. I've been looking forward to it because they've wanted to make this movie for quite some time, but they didn't have the funding for a while, and then they thought it wasn't the right time. But then with the release of Brokeback Mountain, it kind of got a little bit more airtime, and I've been looking forward to it ever since.
If they just follow the general format of the documentary, The Life and Times of Harvey Milk, they'll come out smelling like a rose.
Yes, exactly. I'm just excited about it. But let's see, one of the other people on my list is Walt Whitman.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple people don't know. I hope that everybody knows about Walt Whitman out there. And if y'all don't know, Walt Whitman was an American poet. And all throughout his life, he wrote poetry, wonderful poetry. Some of his poetry was said to be obscene because of its sexuality.
Yes. Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Yes. I've actually read some of his poetry. Nowadays, it doesn't seem as obscene, but
no, it's actually romantic.
Yes, it is. But I'm sure back in the day they didn't believe that it could be that. I believe that back in the day it just was like scandalous.
Yeah, the love of comrades. Yes.
Yes. Yes. but it's all been said that his sexuality has been disputed. Some say that he's bisexual, some say that he's homosexual. But one thing that is clear is that he had a relationship with another man.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationship with the other man was, his name was Peter Doyle, and he was a
streetcar operator.
Yes, I was like some...
Yes.
Yes. And...
He was a blue-collar worker.
He was a blue-collar worker.
Walt was attracted to blue-collar types and soldiers throughout his life.
And if you don't believe the fact that that he might be bi or gay, just look at... they actually have this wonderful picture of Walt Whitman and Peter Doyle, and they're looking at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the pictures that probably at the time would have been like, what's going on there? But to my eyes, you can clearly see that there's homosexual undertones.
Yeah.
It's
a little confusing because portraits in those days often showed two men holding hands or embracing. It was just the way it was done, and people didn't think anything of that. Yeah, whether they were brothers or good friends or whatever. But I know the picture you're talking about, and there's definitely something going on between the two men in that picture.
Yes, yes. But it's one of my favorite photos.
Yes.
Yeah. But they were together 10 years, I believe. And it says on the website, on Wikipedia, that they're not sure how exactly the relationship, if it was a sexual relationship or if it was just a friendship. And it's just very interesting at how some people have talked about it and some people don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I was in history class, they didn't mention anything about Walt Whitman being gay. They didn't mention something about Alexander the Great being bisexual, but it's just very interesting.
The book that people should read, I guess, for a good overview from that Walt wrote was Leaves of Grass. It's a rather slim volume of poetry, but there's a lot of very homoerotic and love of comrade type poetry in that.
Mm-hmm. And let me move on to my next person. My next person is Billie Holiday,
mm-hmm.
and all throughout her life, she also has kind of like where they say she might be bisexual or she might be straight, but it's just very interesting at how different people interpret it.
Yeah,
And she was born in 1915, and she died in 1959, which, by our standards, is very early in her life. I believe, how old was that?
But she had a tough life.
Yes, she had a tough life.
Yeah.
And she was a jazz singer and songwriter, if y'all don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But she is famous for her I believe the song God Bless the Child,
mm-hmm.
Don't Explain, and Lady Sings the Blues. I've heard Lady Sings the Blues. It's quite a wonderful song. But one of the things that she is commended for is all throughout her life, she could have given up, but she didn't. She wanted to be more.
Yes.
And I think that
even though she died very young, she still is, when you think of jazz, she's one of the most wonderful people that sing. Her voice quality isn't like anybody else that I've ever heard of.
That's true.
Go ahead.
If you see the movie Lady Sings the Blues with Diana Ross, it has almost nothing to do. It's just so not the life of Billie Holiday.
Yeah, I was about to mention that because I've seen the movie and I was like, that doesn't sound like it. Yeah, because I've heard stories about her. I've read stories about her, and she seemed like a tough nonsense kind of woman.
Mm-hmm.
And at least to me, when I watched that movie, Diana Ross, she just didn't quite portray her
in that
type of way. At least in my opinion. But one of the famous songs that I found very interesting, that I actually love the song. It's a tragic song, but it's called Strange Fruit.
Yes.
And
yes, that's probably her most famous song.
Yes, and it's a song based on a poem about lynching. Mm-hmm. And it was written by Abel Maripool, and it just, every time I hear it, it always gets me. It just is a song that always hits the right notes, to where in my opinion, it is one of the greatest songs that I've ever heard.
Wow. Okay, I need to jump in here and remind folks that they are listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, right here on good old KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston, and on the World Wide Web at dubcubed.kpft.org. Okay.
Turn it down. Okay, sorry. But it just is, that always gets me.
Yes,
so.
it's a very powerful song.
But it's just looking at a picture of her. I'm on her Wikipedia site right
mm-hmm.
now, and you can see in all her different photos that she doesn't have quite. There's always something about her, whether it be in her eyes or in her expression, that shows that she lived a hard life. I don't know what it is, but it's just a certain quality. But
that's why she excelled so well with the blues.
Yes, exactly.
Because you can't have a happy life and sing the blues. I'm sorry.
Oh, you can't. But it's just very, because some people, they're like, they try to sing the blues and it's like, oh.
You have to feel it.
You have to feel it from your gut, basically. It's like when you're performing, you have to feel it from your gut mm-hmm. and it comes out of you. And you don't hear that a lot. but when you hear it, you definitely know that it's something, it's kind of like somebody's heart is being wrenched out in a way. But it's just, she's just a very powerful woman. And I don't think, at least in my opinion, anybody could replace her or her sound. But let me move on to my next person. My next person is Albert Cashier. And his birth name was Jenny Irene Hodgers. And he was an Irish-born soldier in the Union Army during the American Civil War.
Yeah.
And Cashier was biologically female, but lived as a man. And one of the reasons why I chose him is because a lot of people don't know his name, and a lot of people don't know the fact that there are actually transgender people that go way back into our history.
Yes.
Yes, it just amazes me.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe I'm just reading through his biography right now. I'm just skimming. And all throughout his life, he seems to have, in a way, he seems to have always worked on a farm, have done something along those lines. And it's just very interesting because he fought during the Civil War, and during that time, people who were transgender, I found out that there have been a couple cases where transgender men would, if they were found out, they would either be dishonorably discharged, or in some cases, they were honorably discharged because they were women. I remember there was one case where a soldier was a woman, and the only reason that she was found out was because she got pregnant during the Civil War, and it just amazes me at how different things happen all throughout our history. And I'm just reading through his biography. And he was a private, and he served from 1862 to 1865. And he was actually in the battles of Vicksburg, Red River, and Guntown. And all throughout his life, he seems to be a farmhand or janitor, which is very interesting. But I chose this person because it's one of the people that we don't get to hear of, but he still is somebody that is part of our history.
Mm-hmm.
He still is somebody that has done something to change for the better. And it says that Cashier, later on in his life, he was hit by a car, and he was taken to the hospital, and he basically his health deteriorated, and he had to be moved to a hospital, and he later went insane, and it was because they forced him once they discovered that he had
a vagina.
Yes, that they basically made him wear dresses and made him be somebody that he wasn't. And so, since he didn't have a name, when he died, he was buried in his uniform. And his tombstone was inscribed Albert D.J. Cashier, which I find that even though that he was transgender, they still respected his final wishes in a way. Do you understand?
Yes.
Yeah. But let me move on to one of my other people. And the last person that I'll mention is Laurence Olivier.
Yes, an interesting character.
Yes. I chose him because a lot of people have said there's just a lot of information that his sexuality, they say that he might be bisexual. They mm-hmm. say he's very interesting. And I chose him because he always, I remember his name. I've always remembered his name. Don't know why. But
well,
but
he's had some incredible movie roles.
Yes, I'm just looking through his bio, and it's just let's see. For those who don't know Laurence Olivier, he was an English actor, director, and producer,
mm-hmm.
and he received quite a few awards.
Oh yeah.
Yes. And he played a wide variety of roles on stage and screen, from Greek tragedy to Shakespeare and Restoration comedy to modern America and British drama.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first artistic director of the National Theatre of Great Britain. And I'm just looking through his bio, and it's very interesting. He was... What? I'm just looking... Okay. He had 14 Oscar nominations and 2 wins for Best Actor and Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
And for Best Picture was Hamlet, and 2 honorary awards, including a statuette and certificate. He was also awarded 5 Emmys, and from the nine nominations he received. Additionally, he was a 3-time Golden Globe and BFTA winner.
Mm-hmm.
And it lists some of the things that he did. He did Othello. He did Twelfth Night. He did Marathon Man, The Boys from Brazil.
That was a particularly powerful role.
And I believe, and High Church, I believe that's the name of one of his.
His career spanned from like the 30s through the 70s or the 80s.
He died when in 1989, mm-hmm. so it was probably through the 70s. But a couple of his spouses were Vivian Leigh, Jill Esmond, and Joan Plowright.
Joan Plowright, yeah. Do you know who Vivian Leigh was?
She, I will never go hungry again.
You got it. He uh-huh. was particularly enamored of Vivian Leigh. And while she loved him, she loved others equally. So I always thought of him as bisexual because he certainly had liaisons with lots of men. But he did have this attraction to Vivian Leigh. So I don't know where you've put him on your list.
I put him as bisexual.
Okay, good. Thank you, because not just because it agrees with me, but because I think that's where it belongs.
Yes, I also believed, because I've actually seen one or two of his films.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I'm trying to remember what films they were, because what it's like I have them in my mind, but they will not come out. It's just I can't remember. But I'm just, yeah. And then you scroll down after all his major awards and accomplishments,
mm-hmm.
and it says the bisexual claim, and it says multiple biographers have produced books about him. Several of them include the claims that Olivier was bisexual,
mm-hmm.
and Joan Plowright has said, "I have always resented the comments that it was I who was the homewrecker of Larry's marriage to Vivian Leigh.
Danny Kaye was attached to Larry far, was attached to Larry far earlier than I. And Danny Kaye, let me see.
Yeah, Danny Kaye, of all people.
Yeah. And Danny Kaye was a Berkeley, was, no, I must be crazy.
No, Danny Kaye was a...
Danny Kaye was an actor.
An actor, and he acted in musicals, and usually... I don't know. I never took him seriously. He was a song and dance man, but he usually he a lot of his roles he played a buffoon.
Yeah, so I'm just looking at he was in.
And that, you know, I just can't even imagine him and Olivier together because Olivier seemed like such an intellectual.
Oh. And then let's see, and then in different. And then another biographer says that Kaye and Olivier were lovers.
Mm-hmm.
And then, let's see, and they have a lot of quotes and that say that he had different affairs with different people. I'm just looking through.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And also, let's see. Oh, my goodness. And it says... During the filming of A Streetcar Named Desire, Olivier's wife, Vivian Leigh, David Niven discovered Leigh's co-star Marlon Brando and Olivier, yeah, together, just kissing in a swimming pool. So, very interesting.
Yes. Brando never denied that he never claimed to be bisexual, but he never denied having sex with other men.
It's just very interesting. Very interesting. I think all the great stars have a sexuality which is all their own, where they have a sex appeal to both men and women.
Yeah.
Kind of like Angelina Jolie, where in many cases she has a sex appeal for both men and women. And
oh, absolutely.
Yes. It's
absolutely.
Probably because of her, the way she looks, not only because of the way she looks, but because of the way that she portrays herself with such an elegance. But I also want to mention that these people, while they are famous, some of them not, They are part of their history. And the more you learn about a history, the more you know about who you are. And I know that at some times, if you're a young GLBT person, that you feel alone. But the point of tonight's show was showing that we're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
We're all throughout history. And we're all who we're meant to be. And I want us to keep in mind that we're still making history. We're still, eventually, we're still going to be part of our history. We're going, just think, in 50 years, they might be looking upon us and saying, oh, well, this, well, let's study about them.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's, it's...
It's just...
kind of odd, but that may happen, but it certainly may. And since this is Gay History Month, we'll need to close very quickly. I know Chris has his round table waiting in the wings.
Okay.
But I do want to mention that... Since it is Gay History Month, it'd be a good time to announce that GCAM, the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of GLBT History, has just signed a lease with the Montrose Counseling Center, and we have taken over space number 117. So we will have a permanent presence in the cultural center as it's being termed, and we're now going through some of our archives looking for appropriate artwork to put on the walls of the first floor.
Oh, that'll be quite exciting. I know I'll be looking forward to it.
We're very, very happy to make this move. So we're looking forward to a long and happy time there.
Yes, yes.
Right down the hall from Hatch.
Yes, exactly. Right down the hall. But I want to thank all y'all for listening and join us in another month. Hopefully there will be a couple more people besides me, but thank you all for listening.
You're very welcome.
I hope you have a wonderful GOBD History Month, and keep in mind, what is it, National Coming Out Day?
Is October the 11th.
October the 11th. Okay. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Thank you, Jen.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Yeah, October 11th is my second birthday.
Ah.
I came out on National Coming Out Day.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know how many years ago it was, but...
It's been a while. I was talking about how we advertised the very first National Coming Out Day right here on After Hours many, many years ago. And it escapes me. I can't remember if it was 1988 or 1989. I don't know. Is this the 19th anniversary or the 20th anniversary of National Coming Out Day? Do you have any idea?
Oh, let's see. Boy, it's so weird spelling coming with a U. With an O, I mean. Wikipedia. I got to be careful with Wikipedia. I get on what I call a wiki loop. Day was founded in 1988.
Okay. I knew it was one or the other.
Yeah, and I get into these, I call it a wiki loop, where you click on a Wikipedia site, and you read the article, and then you find something else that interests you, so you click on it.
And you just keep going,
and then you end up clicking on that.
Yeah.
And an hour and a half later, you realize...
that you're nowhere near where you started from.
I'm serious. It's a weird thing. I've caught myself... The weirdest part is I catch myself doing it with wrestlers.
Oh, wrestlers?
Yeah.
Les Miserables.
There's some cute guys out there now.
Oh, yes.
You look up wrestlers at Wikipedia?
WWE.
Yeah. There you go. Let's see. Where's it?
Stop.
And look up Morrison.
Oh, where is it? Okay, WWE.
He's really doing this.
Yes, he
is. I'll show you a cute one.
They're all cute.
This one's kind of cute.
They're all big.
And no. There's some.
And that's I kind of like that.
Oh, come on.
Okay, if I said the name Morrison to you,
I would think Jim.
Okay.
He's kind of
hunky, husky.
He's doable.
He's tiny. He's cute, tiny. Here's a young one.
Well, that's snackish.
Yeah.
To say the very least.
Cody. Yeah, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're not expecting a delivery, are we?
We're expecting the next show.
From Zydeco Pastale.
Zydeco Pastale is knocking on the door.
So, yeah. I'll stop my wiki loop and... put a little music and get the gang in here for some interesting sorted information for Roundtable.
Okay, let's do that.
Liberty, Betty Boop is hot and reaches out in the cold. Greenwich Village, Shrewsbury, gazing like society. Harlem, not Chicago, fights me a pole and load. Pride, pride, gotta have pride. Been around too long to keep it inside. Pride, can't sit back and watch from the side. Pride is power and power is pride. It's time to celebrate all the colors of the rainbow. Get out into the streets, follow the tide. Captive hits the Broadway stage, the fleeting cat moves all the rage, and the well of loneliness appears on the sands. Red like crystal night, Adolf shows Olympic might. Put on your pink triangles and put up your hands. 8 bomb 50s keen, McKinsey shakes the cocktail scene. James Dean, Madison, Doris Day, and Harry Day. Donald Webster, Corey Wright, Joe McCarthy, picks a fight. J. Edgar Wright, no shame on you. What else do you plan to do? Christine Jorgensen's reborn, daughters of Belitis. And we have our naked lunch in Giovanni's room. Marilyn, the pretty scene. Jackie's in her Rossini. Vatican II. And something's coming soon. Summer 1969. The heat is rising all the time. And over the rainbow, Judy Garland sleeps. Stonewall Bar, men in blue. Heads were broken, bottles flew. Out of the bars and into the streets. Pride, pride, gotta have pride. Been around too long to keep it inside. Pride, can't sit back and watch from the side. Pride is power and power is pride. It's time to celebrate all the colors of the rainbow. Get out into the streets, follow the tide. Boys in the band play that Fiddler sang those bathhouse days. Lance Loud, gay and proud, Oscar Wilde bookstore, Sister George Dewsbury, Tales of the City, Anita Bryant, Village People, Studio 54, Harvey Milk, Rough Trade, Aaron Fricks, Prom Day, Grid, Torchum Trilogy, Boy George, and GMHC, HIV identified, Rock Hudson, Liberace died, Reagan finally says the word, Bowers versus Harvard's heard. AIDS quilts, act up, Randy Shields, Queer Nation, Maple Floor, Phase ET, Amendment 2, Cracker Barrel, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, HX, Cyber Sex, March on DC, Greg Louganis, Selton, John George Michael, what is going on? Lilith Fair, Rowdy Girls, spend a day at Disney World, Coonan and Scare the Mick the Case, he and Ellen will embrace, Matthew Shepard, God bless you, what else can we look forward to? Pride, pride, gotta have pride. It's been around too long to keep it inside. Pride, can't sit back and watch from the side. Pride is power and power is pride. It's time to celebrate all the colors of the rainbow. Get out into the streets and follow the tide. Pride, pride, gotta have pride. We've been around too long to keep it inside. Pride, can't sit back and watch from the side. Pride is power and power is pride. It's time to celebrate all the colors of the rainbow. Get out into the streets, follow the tide. Pride.
John Gilbert Levitt with Pride. Kind of Billy Joelish.
Yes. Very much.
Hello. That's one way.
Hi.
Howdy.
Back by unpopular demand, it's the round table.
Woo!
Yay,
and
we're back.
More unpopular than that.
We're queer, we're here, get used to it.
Damn flashing yellow light was driving me nuts all show.
And you're just now doing something about it?
Yeah.
Obviously you enjoyed it for a little while.
Well, what was the flashing light?
Oh, it's on the phone board in here.
Oh.
Well, you know, it was making me feel nuts, and I was going to feel a nut.
Deal Nuts. Oh, well, that's over here. And never mind. Hi, Chris.
On the other side of that glass.
We see the shillelagh anytime soon?
A shillelagh. What do you mean, a shillelagh?
Large stick for hitting things with.
Oh, sure, kind of like Merlin.
Or beating things with, depending on how you look.
No, there's someone in there with a shamrock in his hand.
Yes.
There is. Someone. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That one.
Irish eyes are. All right.
Okay.
Well, moving on then.
So I hear Mr. Happy wanted to wave to the camera on Survivor.
Oh, we got a couple of Survivor stories here.
And they're not related to the hurricane for once.
There is a gay survivor.
Big shock. Gay.
New York-based lawyer is the latest openly gay contestant on CBS's long-running reality series, Survivor.
Is this one cute?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. You actually want to see him naked. He isn't like Machiavelli there.
Just checking. Thought I'd ask.
Richard Hatch. Yeah.
On behalf of the big people of the world, in which you are two of them.
I guess we are the, round table.
Okay.
Well, half round table.
The last gay person who was on that show, it was not a question of size. It was a question of, damn, he was ugly.
He had a face only a mother could love.
Yeah.
And Charlie Herschel is counting the days until November 2nd when he takes to the streets for the annual New York City Marathon. He is a 29-year-old lawyer from New York City. He's one of the new 18 castaways on Survivor Gabon.
Who?
Gabon. That's where it's being held at.
Is this somewhere?
Africa, I believe.
Hold that picture up to the microphone so we can see it.
Well, unfortunately, the...
Yeah. Oh, I can see that he's got a nice body.
Yes. And that's all you really wanted?
Let's see his legal briefs.
yes, please.
He's competed in 7 marathons, so you can tell he's quite fit.
Buff, yeah. To a fault.
Chiseled.
He came out at 19. Todd Herzog and Richard Hatch were the only gay Survivor winners. But being gay was not the reason either one of them won. I don't think the fact they won had anything to do with their sexuality. It's just not really surprising given how many people in America are in fact gay. The great thing about Survivor is it's such a cross-section of society. You can find out, see his picture if you go over to outsports.com.
I don't know. Given the cutthroat nature of some of the gay men I know, that might have been part of why Richard Hatch won.
Oh, he has a Facebook ad.
Didn't
click over. In other news from Survivor, Marcus.
Yes.
In case you missed it on Thursday's season premiere of Survivor Gabon, the censors missed a floppy peen peeking out of Marcus's boxer shorts. This is, I'm going to be reading this from the website Delisted.
Kind of the X-rated version of Baywatch, I guess.
I watched this on Thursday night and I missed it. I need to take my dick radar to the shop. It must be busted. Marcus's sneaky wang just wanted some air time. Personally, I feel Marcus's magic stick should become the newest member of the tribe.
So I guess we finally got our wardrobe malfunction.
Now, the thing is this. If you saw it in high-definition television, you it happened so quickly you didn't see it. But, of course, you know that somebody out...
Chris, did you do the enhancement again?
No.
There's a lot more floppage in the slow motion than you see on the screen.
It was as big as a caver.
So it was Baywatch.
Well, they're all scrambling for something, and of course somebody had screen captured and enhanced.
What?
Stop that sound!
What sound?
Exactly.
That's the one that got us off the air for 4 weeks.
We don't need that again, please.
It's warming up somebody's hands. It's cold. He's cold.
Please announce that ahead of
That's
time.
That's not the only thing you're warming.
Now, of course, since this has become known and the censors didn't catch it, the Parents Television Council.
Oh, God, not these idiots.
You know you're in trouble when it starts with...
There's jackasses.
When parents and counsel come into...
They have filed a complaint with
the FCC.
The same people who complained about Janet Jackson's tit.
Yes.
Which and really didn't show up because it was covered with something.
Yeah, but tape. The fact is, you know, if they said it was accidental, you know, it didn't, so quickly, it's, it's when you take it in slow motion that.
Be still my being.
I wonder why people are so messed up in the head about sex.
And all I got to say is, God bless the cameraman.
Right?
Because he did a pretty good tracking it. He saw what was going on. It's
and he's probably as gay as the guy.
Right?
He almost kept it pretty well focused in screen there. I mean, it was...
Ooh, hey.
And the Emmy goes to, for best cinematography, the queer photographer.
He'll get a GLAAD award for that one, for sure.
Hello. God knows for all the other stuff they hand out awards for.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd buy that for
best floppage.
I mean, footage.
Yeah, footage. That's it.
Footage. Well, that's the one.
They didn't say if it was 12 inches or not. Only about 3 or 4 peaked out. For those of you who hadn't heard, Daniel Radcliffe has begun his career on Broadway now, doing Equus. Yes.
Naked.
And, of course, because he came to this side of the shore, they've got pictures. Then again, people were very mean about it. They said, not a lot of meat, but plenty of potatoes.
Oh! What website said this?
I forget which one it was. It may have been delisted as well. They're kind of naughty. But Dan Radcliffe
there's still enough people who want to play with his magic wand.
11 inches?
Hello.
Anyway.
Daniel Radcliffe has revealed he'd marry his Equus co-star Lorenzo Pisano if Pisano were gay. So apparently, is Dan coming out?
I think Daniel's coming out.
Said Radcliffe, we're getting on very well indeed. I've written some really, really deep sexual things on some of the cards I've given him for opening night. Just to wind him up, you know.
Am I?
So apparently...
I'd like to wind
him up. Wow, some of that slash fiction might come true.
Hello. Him and Will Wheaton, there you go.
Oh,
and
no. That's fine as long as Will's face is buried in the pillow.
Hello.
Hello.
That's the publicity shot. We've already seen that.
Yeah, I know it.
Show us the goods already. Jesus.
I got them at home. I downloaded those pictures when they first popped up.
Scott.
I'm sure that's not all that popped up.
On an email. Complete with the frontal.
Oh, that one's a fake one. The one where he's standing in front of the horse. And,
yeah.
Some of the original pictures were shot just above... Yeah, the bottom part's faked. I'm talking about real photo cat,
Yeah.
God bless the cameras. Okay, let's see. Another funny little story.
Aren't you enjoying one more being time. Part of this?
A Victorian man, as in Australia?
Older lady?
Australia.
Yeah.
A Victorian man who believed he had been raped by the mob boss from the U.S. TV drama The Sopranos...
Oh, my God.
When did this happen?
Killed his friend by stabbing him 46 times.
Okay.
Caleb Zane Smith pled guilty to the charge of defensive homicide for stabbing and killing a friend. The guy suffered from paranoia and psychotic episodes.
No.
You think?
Smith believed he'd been anally raped by the fictional mob boss Tony Soprano from the U.S. drama The Sopranos.
Oh, my God.
Great.
So he went and pricked his friend with a knife, huh?
46 times.
I hope
he fell on my knife. He fell on my knife 46 times.
I hope he at least gave him the kiss of death first.
Yeah. beware of Sicilians who kiss you on both cheeks.
What is it about juice again?
Pick your cheeks.
Juice in space? What? Anyway.
Did I close the wrong one?
I didn't do it.
I think I closed the wrong window.
You can't prove it.
Yeah, I did. I had some other story up there. I forget which one it was. There.
Uh-oh.
Did you mess up?
Oh, this one here from Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Blame Canada.
Blame Canada.
Police launched a criminal investigation on independent federal candidate David Popliscu. after he told more than 200 high school students and a host of competing candidates in Ontario that he felt gays should be executed.
Ouch.
In response to a question about same-sex marriage.
Ooh.
Popescu introduced himself with a public prayer, blaming environmental damage and economic unrest on the wickedness of society. His comments were met with silence, and some of the students grimaced and shifted in their seats. Near the end of the more than two-hour event, students were invited to ask the candidates questions. As the long line of pupils waited to speak, Popescu told a young female student who asked him about stem cell research that, quote, God would hurt those who had an abortion. The crowd jeered, and many of them rose to their feet after Popescu answered another teenager's question on gay marriage. During a telephone interview later in the day, Popescu reasserted his view. A young man asked me what I think about homosexual marriages, and I said I think homosexuals should be executed. My whole reason for running is on the Bible, and the Bible couldn't be more clear on that point. Doesn't it look like he's wearing a poly cotton blend shirt? I think that's a sin, too. And if that shirt is not an abomination, that hairstyle is. Candidates and teachers looked on in silence, and students called for him to be cut off. Despite their outrage, the discussion moved on to other topics. Interesting thing is that on the VP candidates debate, the question of same-sex marriage came up there.
Yeah.
Well, not really same-sex.
Skeletor versus He-Man there.
Go figure. Well, it wasn't really same-sex marriage.
Skeletor.
It was,
Palin?
Same-sex, homosexual rights.
Okay.
Because apparently Alaska has same-sex equality rights.
Okay.
On their books. And so it was nice seeing, actually, you know, it was one of those few things that you got Palin and Biden to agree on, was they agree that we should have our rights, but not marriage.
And I wonder how they justify that.
It's still the old concept, marriage is between one man and one woman, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Da-da-da-da.
Yeah, but da-da. Who else is going to adopt all these kids that are sitting in orphanages right now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Unbelievable.
How many people watched the VP debate?
I watched it.
During Tutin.
Thankfully, I was not home for that.
I watched it. And I watched it for the same reason a lot of people watched it. I was there for the train wreck.
Yeah.
Did it happen?
No.
It did not.
I will tell you this.
She read from that script so well.
Oh, yeah.
She did so brilliantly.
She memorized well on what she had to say. And it was... It was, I mean, I was getting nauseous from her homespun. You gotcha. And shout out to all the third graders at such and such stage.
Joe Sixpack.
Yeah, God, that got on my nerves.
And like I said, the scary part I have is this, you know, everyone keeps talking about the Tina Fey impression.
It's frighteningly close.
But like I said, you know, I saw the same look in my sister-in-law. You know, after she had 6 Vicodin after giving birth to her son. she put her hair up. She looked quite a bit like Sarah Palin. The one thing I couldn't get was at one point I was screaming at the television practically. And it was like, Joe, could you grow a set of balls? Or ask Sarah if she can take Todd's out of her purse.
The thing of it is, with someone like that, who is potentially going to be
the vice president,
and if anything should happen to the older gentleman who is running for the presidency,
the mummy. The one who's cancer prone.
Older, yes. You know, she is one seat away from the presidency in that case, and
that's
how
one
too. How do you think she would do with foreign relations and the economy?
Well,
you know, like serious stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, like they said, Alaska is close to Russia.
Yeah.
Under that logic, then Governor Crist of Florida would be a better selection because his country is closer to, what,
Cuba?
5, 6, 7, 8 countries?
Yeah, the Bahamas, Cuba.
Barbados.
But no, it was...
Yeah.
I mean,
because when you actually you sit down and you look at it,
that hotbed of political intrigue.
She couldn't lose. It was her event to lose because Biden was neutered from the start.
Because
he couldn't go up against her. You know, anything he said to tell her off. Oh, he's being anti-woman and all this other chauvinistic. Yeah. And it's like the one point I was wanting him to turn around. That it's like, you know, the question was, what do you think of the Bush doctrine in the past 8 years? And he answered the question. She goes, Joe, there you are again, just living in the past. And I wanted him to turn around and say, look, the question was the Bush years. I'm answering the question.
Yeah.
You may try answering a question or try listening to a question that you're going to answer. But you did that. They neutered Gwen Ifill.
Yeah,
the story about her book that's coming out. So she was able to walk in and say, you know, I'm not going to answer the question the way you want to answer it. I'm going to answer, you know, we want to talk about the mortgage. Well, I want to tell you about energy and what we did in Alaska.
Yeah.
They finally got power to Alaska.
Yeah.
Wow. We have a heated, we got a heated seat in our outhouse, so when the moose comes by, I'm not going brrr.
Which might mistake it as a mating call.
It was, you know, when I watched the presidential.
Like, and run.
When I watched the presidential debate, I flipped back and forth. And, you know, I had the fortunate thing, I was flipping between the debate and something more horrible with, you know, with ghosts. Although every time I flip back to McCain, I thought I was seeing a ghost.
Same complexion.
Right.
Same complexion.
But, you know, on this one, I actually sat there and was watching it going, I could not believe it. And then to hear later on that some columnist on the National Review did a soft porn.
Oh, yeah, you were talking about that.
Yeah, that it was on Keith Olbermann. That was this soft porn, basically, you know, I had to sit up a little straighter in my chair when I saw her, and she filled the room with sparkles and lights. And,
yeah.
Yes, we are.
Apparently, somebody has an Oedipus complex. I don't know.
But, you know, I was hoping, you know, when they started talking a little bit about education, they'll go, well, what do you feel about abstinence-only teaching in schools?
Because
especially since the new story I'm hearing is the fact that her oldest son, who just went off to Iraq, he's born 8 months after his parents eloped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wonder.
Yeah,
interesting,
you know,
timing.
Hey, I'll bring it back to you.
I'm just kind of curious. How many times exactly was it since the pick of Palin that McCain has regretted his decision?
Well, I don't think he has. You know.
Of course,
it's his way of trying to say, look, I support women's rights.
Of course, if he lives in the same, you know, given the voting record and all of that, if he lives in the same happy universe that George is living in, you know, that happy fantasy land, then he's very happy with Palin because he doesn't see anything even remotely like the truth any more than Bush does. I mean, you know,
But yeah, I mean, I watched that and I agreed with what they said. You know, I felt she won it because she had, you know, she didn't screw up, she didn't self-destruct, and it was hers to lose. And, you know, I was a little impressed with her, but, you know, it'd be nice if there was some
real debating.
Well, we just had a caller who said that he thought that the issue between that debate was a matter of equality. He said that the questions had to deliberately be downloaded or downgraded so that she would have an equal opportunity to answer the question and not feel, what's the word I want to use?
Put stupid?
Yeah.
Well, she didn't answer the question that was put to her.
She didn't answer the question she was given, regardless. I mean, she...
And like I said, she had the ability to go in there and say that she didn't want to answer what she was... You know, I'll tell you what I want to tell you.
Right.
And, you know, it's... Then it was funny to hear her say, you know, I would love to go out and do this. Let's do, you know, do multiple of these debates. You know, let's go out to other places.
That doesn't make any sense.
You know, during her debate, she said she wasn't going to do any more interviews. You know, basically saying, you know, I'm not going to be doing any more interviews so I don't get Katie Couric'd. I'm sorry, when Katie Couric is able to outwit you in a interview, that's sad.
Saying a lot.
And but then again, you know, the next morning, she's out there on Fox News.
Fox News.
And
wait a minute, fair and balanced?
I have only one question.
What?
Okay, I could almost give her. There are a bunch of questions about the world politic thing, you know. I get that she might not be able to answer, but could she possibly have simply answered the question, "What magazines do you read?"
Yeah,
yeah.
How hard is this?
Or, you know,
this is not rocket science. What stuff do you subscribe to, or do you have stuck in your face that you read? How hard is that?
Man, I was waiting for her to say Weekly World News.
Weekly World News.
Well, you know, I get the National Enquirer delivered, and of course there's Playgirl, and Moose and Stream, and
True Grit.
Moose and Squirrel? Anyways.
Moose and
Squirrel. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Or, you know, like
Boys Life.
No!
The
highlights.
Oh, hell, I'll say it. Ranger Rick.
Ranger Rick. There you go.
My, you know, the Supreme Court decisions. I'm sorry. You know, I mean, there was a recent one, you know, just this past month about Exxon Valdez getting their lawsuit or their liability reduced from the spill. You know, that's an Alaska thing.
That didn't happen. That was in the past.
Yeah, right. 20 years ago.
I mean, I was automatically thinking, well, the Republicans, I think they'd still be a little pissed at Lawrence v. Texas.
Yeah.
But, you know.
The so-called rogue courts, like you're saying, you know, the rogue judges or whatever, and it's like they're doing what they...
They're doing
Hey, Miss Palin, Exxon Valdez. That happened in your neck of the woods.
Your backyard. You know
why? So why do we have to still kiss the butts of?
Mm-hmm. You want to find out how she would handle it today if it happened?
Oh, mm-hmm. God, she'd flip.
I mean, you can see where the oil spilled when you're looking over at Russia, where Putin's rearing his head, looking over and flying in the airspace.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all the seagulls that are still falling out of the skies.
Uh-huh.
Power play from, you know, Chernobyl.
It's like, yeah. It's like, and that's what gets me, is to even remotely think of hearing her spout anything about drilling for oil.
Drill baby drill.
Would just
oh my God. Joe Biden on the phrase drill baby drill, because Joe said drill, drill, drill. And she goes, Joe, it's drill baby drill.
Yeah, I want to know how she knew that.
Oh, she's the one who started the chant.
She's the one who started it.
Yeah.
And there's a lovely t-shirt of drill baby drill featuring McCain and Palin, but it's a different kind of drilling.
I think I want to get one of those. Add it to my collection.
Things make you go...
and I will say this. And some of the things I straddle on topics like this, you know... take issue with Keith Olbermann, who made the comment about, and Chris Matthews, they were making the comment about after the debate, she brought up her children, and here's the baby. He was, 6 months old, Down syndrome. And, you know, Keith made the comment about them bringing up the baby. And it's like, well, Joe Biden brought up his family, too. And then Chris Matthews said, well, you know, it's 11 o'clock at night, she's dragging the baby around. No, it's 11 o'clock Eastern time when you're talking right now. It was 9:30 when it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get straight where you are. So I'm not saying that they're perfect. I'm not saying Fox News. I like flipping over to Fox News and seeing what they say on those things, and then quickly flip back over.
Yeah, but it's always been about the flip with you, hasn't it?
I'm not too much of a flip flop. I'm not that versatile. But it's you know, it's an interesting season. It's the first time, you know, within the debates we've had the gay wedge issue. Fortunately, you know, I think the one who's the group that's really working out on this, it's the Hispanics, because since the economy is in the crapper,
yeah, mm-hmm.
you know, the wedge mm-hmm. issue of immigration hasn't been raised once.
No, because yeah. someone's got to do the work.
Wait a minute, was that wedge or wage?
No, wedge. Yeah.
Wedge. You
know. Wedge.
I'm waiting for Sarah Palin to say, I know all about immigration. I got all those snowbacks coming in from Canada.
No!
and they're wanting to take our logging jobs and our moose our moose dressing.
Yeah.
Turn tootin'?
Dressing?
Yeah, where you
got the moose? It. Okay.
Yeah, I spend too much time out in the rural areas, so I know those kind of phrases.
Ah.
Yay.
Well,
I was just curious. I, you know, I make a comment like that, and Jimmy walks in the room.
Jimmy's already looking at you, going, undressed, dressed. What are we talking about this time?
It isn't nude radio. We swear.
I don't care.
Hadn't got there yet,
and we're not going to get there because we're almost at the end of the show.
Because we're almost out of time.
It's that time.
Either way you go,
good night, kids.
This is going to be one hell of a history-making election.
Oh yeah.
Do we get a female for vice president, or do we get an Afro-American male as president?
Biracial
African-American male.
Either way you go about it, it's going to make history.
Yeah. And it's going to scare a lot of people.
It's going to scare lots.
And we still have 30-something days to go with it.
And all I have to say is, do you pick McCain, do you really want 12 years of the same?
How do you figure 12 years is the same?
Eight plus the next four, assuming he actually lived through the four. Anyhow.
You've been listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, and listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston.
Yes.
And always on the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Coming up at the top of the hour is Zydeco Pasale.
And you've got Mary tonight. She's here. In fact, she's loading up the CD players as we speak.
I'm back.
So she's bringing that good music to you. And the guys are out in the lobby playing the accordion. So it's going to be a good night.
Call a squeeze box.
Uh-huh.
So it's time now for your PSAs.
The third and final presidential debate between Republican John McCain and Democrat Barack Obama airs live on KPFT Wednesday night, October 15th. This debate will be broadcast from Hofstra University in Hempstead, New York. Tune in at 7 for a debate pre-show, as well as post-show analysis directly following the event. The debate will be moderated by Bob Schieffer, CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent and host of Face the Nation. This debate airs live on the first night of the KPFT Fall Pledge Drive. We'll take brief breaks during the pre- and post-show to ask for your financial support, but we'll bring you the debate uninterrupted. Please consider making a pledge that night in support of independent media. Again, tune in Wednesday, October 15th, starting at 7 p.m. for the final presidential debate featuring Republican John McCain and Democrat Barack Obama, right here on 90.1 KPFT Houston.
This is KPFT General Manager Dwayne Bradley. KPFT was off the air for almost 10 days following Hurricane Ike, and during that time, we received an outpouring of goodwill from many of you worried about the fate of your community radio station. Many more of you offered to volunteer or contribute to help KPFT. Here's what you can do. KPFT's Fall Pledge Drive starts shortly. If you were one of the listener members who wanted to support KPFT during our time of need, stay tuned for announcements of our upcoming television telephone volunteer training dates. We also want to make our appeal now for your pledge of support online. We tried out a quiet campaign with much success, and we can do it again with your support. So please visit kpft.org now to pre-pledge. After Hurricane Ike, we at KPFT know how valuable those donations are, and we hope you remember how valuable KPFT is in times like this when community is most important. Thanks. This is KPFT Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.